Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. I want to thank our Board of Deacons, and we had several of the participants in this project are here today. They worked very hard on cleaning out some of the old shrubbery around the sanctuary yesterday. That is in preparation for some new planting that will happen soon. We have been advised by various architects and other knowledgeable folk that these old masonry structures do not need to have plants right up next to the foundations because it holds moisture. And so we're trying to have planting that's a little further out from the buildings. So I hope it'll be even more beautiful than it is now. And we thank all of those who participated in that work. And as far as I know, no poison ivy was contracted in the project. Okay, good. We will have a Bible study this week upstairs in the annex in the adult Sunday school classroom, and we will live stream that on our church Facebook page on Wednesday. It will take place at 7 p.m., and I will send out a lesson plan probably this evening. If you want to participate via Zoom, let me know, and I'll send you a link, or you can come to class, or you can participate on Facebook. I understand we will have a little children's Sunday school after, right? So we'll do that after a little children's message. Now, we're not asking the kids to come and sit on the front row for the children's message, but those who want to go to Sunday school will leave during the second hymn. And please remember that if you'd like to send a gift, you can send it either through our church website using a credit card, or you can mail to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let's now be called to worship with these words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, because the world you have made is so wonderful and is so beautiful, it is so easy for us to turn our attention away from you, the Creator, and to focus on your creation. And in our desire for ourselves and our loved ones to be healthy and safe in this world, it is so easy for us to desire these good gifts more than we desire you, the only one who can give them to us. And so today, help us to turn aside from anyone and anything else in which we might be tempted to place our trust. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might trust only in you, so that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. For we come in the name of the one who died so that we might live, the one who opened a way for us to come into your presence through the perfect sacrifice of himself, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, look on the back of your order of service, you'll find the responsive reading there. We have two brief responsive readings. One is from Psalm 73, and the other is from 1 John chapter 1. And I hope we'll see as we get into our message why these two selections are important to have before us. I will read the light-faced print and encourage the congregation to respond with the bold. You can find the same information in your online order of service. So let's read these portions of God's Word responsively. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And now from 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a wonderful promise that God is light, and a promise that we can walk in that light. Let's enjoy that promise as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 403, Heavenly Sunlight. We'll celebrate the wonderful news that we can walk in the light of God's love and truth. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 403. You can also find the words in your online order of service. Let us stand to sing. have sung God's praise. We have celebrated the great truth that we can walk in His light and His truth. Let us now say what we believe about God, what the Scriptures tell us, as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. You can also find them on your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And as far as a time for the children goes, I just want to ask you all a question. We've got some young folks here, and I know that I know sometimes I have to get up in the middle of the night for various reasons. And when I do that, sometimes I can't see where I'm going. Have you ever had that happen? You get up at night and you have to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom, and you can't see where you're going because it's dark. What do when it's dark? You turn on the lights, right? You turn the switch. Of course, last week, some of us weren't able to do that because we had trees down on our power lines. But most of the time, when you turn the switch on the wall, the lights come on, and you can see where you're going, right? Okay, so what would happen if the power didn't come on, and you had to get up in the middle of the night, and you had to go to the bathroom or get a drink of water, and you couldn't see where you were going, and you forgot to put your toys away the previous night like your mama told you to? What's going to happen? You're going to step on some of that stuff in the floor, aren't you? And then you're going to be in the floor, aren't you? The Christian life is a lot like that. God gives us His light, the light of the sun. God gives us the light of His truth, light of His word, light of His love. And He wants us to walk in the way that He tells us to go. And if we don't do that, if we close our eyes to God's truth, if we don't pay attention to God's law of love, then we're walking in the darkness and we're probably going to fall down. So let's remember that. Let's have a little prayer. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity that You give us to learn about Jesus, to learn about His love and His truth, and to walk in His way and to walk in His light. Help us, Lord, to have the light of the Holy Spirit inside our hearts. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light of the truth of Jesus instead of stumbling around in the darkness. Help us, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And while our children are going for their time of study, I have a minute for mission to share with the grown-ups, and this comes today from our Hands of Hope group. Now, some of you all may not know about Hands of Hope. This is an organization that is in two places. They work in West Virginia, in Welch or McDowell County, and also they do a lot of good work in this area, in Port Gibson, Claiborne County. And I have a letter from the Hands of Hope Mission Board that I wanted to share with you all because the work is continuing. And they write, "Dear church members and friends, thank you for supporting our 2019 Food Box program in McDowell County, West Virginia. Once again, we are asking for help to continue this project. Monthly donations of $10 or $120 for the year are needed. It takes $500 to buy food for 1 month of boxes. We have been able to do this for 4 consecutive years, and we are truly blessed by the awesome God we serve." Just a little update for some of you all who don't know. In McDowell County, the Hands of Hope group provides food boxes that families can take home where they don't have enough to eat. And so that's what this donation goes to help. Then they add, "The restrictions on church attendance due to COVID-19 have reduced our contributions. The food box program in McDowell County is now more important than ever because of the loss of so many of the few jobs that were in the area. We ask that if you have not made your contributions for 2020, to please do so. This year, we will be making another trip to Welch in November. And my understanding is that's the second full week of November. And we've got some folk here who will be in attendance at that trip. What a privilege to be asked to help with Hands of Hope Missions Thanksgiving Blessing Program. Thank you for your prayers and continued support of our mission. May God bless you. In His service, Port Gibson Hands of Hope Board." So I encourage all of us to participate. If you can't go to McDowell County, send some funds, and you can send them to our church if you want to, and we'll just send one big check to Hands of Hope. We've done that before. Or you can send it directly to Hands of Hope Mission Board. Dr. Betsy is on the board. She can take a contribution, or Linda Sue Stewart at Leona's Beauty Shop can take contributions for the work. So let's be in prayer for them and for the folk in McDowell County. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer, let's take up our hymnals, and we'll turn to selection 340. Selection 340, "I Need Thee Every Hour." We have learned about how God allows us to walk in His light and walk in His truth. And so, of course, we need God's light and truth in our lives so that we can live the way He wants us to and love the way He wants us to. We'll sing all 4 stanzas of hymn 340, and let us stand to sing. Amen. You may be seated. And what a wonderful call to prayer that is. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. And the good news is that we can come to the Lord. Because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can know, we can be sure that God will welcome us. That God has not just forgiven us and sent us on our way. He has adopted us into His family. He has made us His own. And so with the confidence of children of God, let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord, we are so grateful for the beautiful sunshine streaming through these big glass windows. We thank You, Lord, that the storms of the last few weeks have passed by. We thank You, Lord, that much of the debris from those storms has been cleaned up and that we have power back on at many of our homes. Lord, we thank You that You have provided light for us, the light of the sun during the day, and electric light at night. But Lord, we have to confess that so much of our life is still very dark. Lord, we are burdened with so many concerns, so many cares. Lord, we have to confess that the confusion that we face grows deeper. Lord, we have this virus in our land. And we don't know exactly who's sick and who's not, and we don't really know what to do about it. And it's scary. Lord, our federal politics seems to be totally dysfunctional, and we don't know how to fix that. We don't know how to live together in love and truth. Lord, we look at our own lives and we see lots of difficulties, our health or the health of our loved ones failing. We see people without jobs, many without hope. Lord, we don't know what to do about any of these things. And when we try to figure it out in our own reason or using our own experience or relying on what we've always done, it just doesn't seem to work anymore. But we thank You that we can walk not just in the light of the sun, but in the heavenly sunlight of Your truth and Your word. We thank You, Lord, that we can come to You with whatever problems we face, and we know that You will hear us, we know that You love us, and we know that You will bless us in Your way and in Your time, and we thank You. And so, Lord, we would lift up to You today those who are fearful. We pray, O Lord, for those who are lonely. We pray for those who have given in to depression or despair. Father, for those who need Your comforting presence, we pray that You would reveal Yourself to them anew and afresh. Lord, we pray for those whose bodies are in need of Your healing touch. Father, we know that You are the good physician. You are the one who created us. You breathed the breath of life into Adam and made him a living soul. And so we pray, O Lord, that You would bless those whose bodies and minds need healing. Father, in this day of great danger, we pray for those who put themselves in harm's way so that we might be safe. Father, we pray for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines, especially for those who are stationed overseas. We pray for our first responders here at home, for the National Guardsmen. We pray for our highway patrolmen and our police officers and our sheriffs and deputies. Lord, we pray for our EMTs and for our firefighters. Lord, we thank You for these who do dangerous jobs. We pray that You would protect them as they protect us. Lord, during this time of sickness, we pray for all of our health care providers, those who risk being infected so that we might be healed. Lord, we pray for our nurses and for our doctors, for our physician's assistants, Lord, for all of those who work in our hospitals and our clinics. Father, we pray that you would bless and protect them. Help them, Lord, as they seek to help us. Lord, we pray for those who try to help others, and we thank you for those who set such a good example of service and love. We pray for our Hands of Hope team that will be going to McDowell County in West Virginia in a few weeks. We thank you for their willingness to help. We pray that you would give them traveling mercies. We pray that you would allow us to support them with our gifts and our prayers. Help us, Lord, to show and share the love of Jesus Christ in this way. And Father, so that we might walk in your light and so that we might live in your truth, we pray now that you would open our eyes and our ears, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might understand your word and that we might live according to what you have told us. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. We continue our study today of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel. We are now in chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 19. And although I realize that this message will be live streamed on Facebook and also put on our church website, I don't often preach about money. That's one of those topics that just doesn't come up in the Presbyterian church. We don't consider it tacky to talk about money in church, but it's pretty close. Unfortunately, the scripture does have a lot to say about how we use our money, or the King James Version, mammon. And so this is one of those passages. Jesus is going to challenge how we think about our worldly possessions. So from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 24, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That's what Jesus said. You cannot serve God and money. That's what Jesus said. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven. Now, that's not exactly the message we get when we turn on the television or open magazines or surf the internet, is it? Instead, we are bombarded with images encouraging us to buy new products. And how do those internet ads know what we're wanting to buy? They are uncanny that way, aren't they? We're told that our lives will be complete if we just visit this restaurant or drive that car or wear those clothes. And I have to admit that the egg pod really does boil 4 eggs in 13 minutes, just as they say on TV. But even if we resist the urge to buy one of those TV products, even if we resist the urge to spend our money on the latest fads and fashions, and y'all, I do not understand why people buy jeans that already have holes in them. Even if we don't buy all that stuff, Jesus' words still give us pause, don't they? If we take what he's saying seriously, is he really telling us that it's wrong to earn money? Is he telling us that it's wrong to work for a living? Is he saying that it's wrong to put aside some savings in the bank for a rainy day? How could that be true? Don't we have a responsibility to work hard, to store up some of the things that God has given us so we can bless the poor around us, not to mention so that we can leave a legacy for our children and our grandchildren. Is Jesus really saying that? Well, some groups of Christians throughout history have taken Jesus' words very literally. You may have read about the medieval monks who took vows of poverty, not wanting to be burdened with material possessions, so they could devote themselves to prayer and to good works. Today, the Amish continue to shun many modern conveniences in order to avoid pride and in order to maintain their spiritual purity. More seriously, those who call themselves liberation theologians have argued that Christian ethics require the embrace of Marxist economics. They argue that Christians are, in essence, called to be communists. Is this what Jesus is saying in this passage? Well, let's take another look. For if we look more carefully, what we will find is that Jesus does not so much contrast the kinds of things that we should save as he does the place where we should save them. In other words, the creator of all material blessings is not so much saying that material things are bad in and of themselves. That wouldn't make much sense, would it? The problem, instead, is that the earth is not a safe storehouse. The earth is not a safe storehouse. Now, we all know this. Moths can destroy even the most carefully laid aside garments. We have a few moth holes in the carpet of the floor of this church. Y'all don't pay attention to them, though. Iron or steel that is not oiled will rust. Wood that is not painted will rot. Nothing on this earth is free from the constant need for maintenance and repair, as those of us who worship in historic buildings know only too well. But perhaps an even more obvious and poignant example of the fleeting nature of worldly wealth can be found just down the road at the ruins of Windsor. Think of the plans that Smith Coffey and Catherine Daniel were making for the future when they built that magnificent mansion. They were in their 30s. Think of the excitement they experienced when they saw those massive wooden floor joists set in place. When those cast iron capitals, which were brought down the river, I think from St. Louis, when they were raised into position atop the 29 stuccoed brick columns soaring three stories into the sky. The Daniels spent $175,000 on their home and furnishings in 1860, and that amount would be worth about $5.25 million in today's money. But go to Windsor today. The stucco is cracked, the bricks are crumbling, the iron capitals are rusting, the wood of the house has been consumed by fire. That happened in 1890. Indeed, the entire slave-based economy, cotton economy, that made its construction possible vanished within 5 years of its completion. The ruins are a monument to mankind's inability to preserve any sort of worldly wealth, our inability to store up treasure on earth. But there's another reason that savings here on earth are not reliable, not permanent. Yes, moth and rust destroy, but Jesus says thieves also break through and steal. Thieves break through and steal. And no, they don't just do this in big cities like Jackson. Even here in little old Pope Gibson, someone recently tore the padlock off of our supply closet and made off with treasure trove. Paper towels, cleaning solution, and toilet paper. No, the sad fact is that you can never be certain that anything you have saved, no matter how modest, will remain where you left it. Because there is sin in this world, It makes no sense to lay up for ourselves treasure on earth. Now, I know none of this is exactly news to us. We know we should not expect material things to last forever. We know that while we must be good stewards of God's gifts to us, that we need to keep our worldly possessions in proper perspective. We know that we should be generous with those who have less than we do. Moreover, I think we would all agree that it is, in fact, not a good idea to place our confidence in our money or our savings, even if we might take a reassuring glance at the size of our portfolios from time to time. We know all this. But if we should not place our faith in our stuff, in mammon, does it make any more sense to place our trust in other worldly blessings? Now, I know here in Mississippi, we really put a lot of stock in our connections, don't we? Our network of friends and family, extended family. But if it's true that our houses fall prey to rot and rust, don't we also get sick from time to time? As time goes on, don't we give up so much of our health? Don't we give up all too many of our friends and our family, all those connections that are so precious to us? Aren't we eventually forced to give up our careers and so many of the other activities that occupied our time and attention? No, if we try to lay up for ourselves any sort of treasure on earth, whether it be money or skills, whether it be relationships or abilities, we will be eventually disappointed. It doesn't make sense to lay up treasure on earth. Now, in contrast, what does Jesus tell us about heaven? He says, moth and rust do not corrupt things in heaven. He says, there is no decay in the presence of the God who is life, the presence of the God who created everything by the word of his power. Jesus is saying that in heaven, thieves do not break through and steal. In fact, no sin of any kind can come into the presence of the God who is perfectly holy and pure and just. Now, I would hope that we would not hesitate to place our funds in a bank that we knew would be immune from theft and decay. Heaven is just such a place. Heaven is eternally safe for us to entrust our savings. And the main reason that our treasure is so safe in heaven is that our greatest possible treasure is already there, the Lord God Himself. What did the psalmist say in our responsive reading today? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He prays to God. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. That's heavenly treasure. And so if we would have God as our portion, it simply makes no sense to look for treasure on earth, does it? It makes no sense to treasure our flesh or our heart or anything else of lesser value, anything else that will fade away. It makes no sense to hold any other God near and dear to us, for as the Ten Commandments remind us, the Lord our God is a jealous God. And he will not tolerate such unfaithfulness, or as Psalm 73 says, he will not tolerate those that go a-whoring from him. And it is this need for faithfulness to God. It is this need for exclusive devotion to our greatest treasure. That's what forms the connection with the next few verses in Matthew's gospel. For Jesus goes on to talk about from going on to say that we should not put our treasure on earth. He goes on to say the light of the body is the eye. He says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean for our eyes to be single? We all have two eyes, don't we? Well, although it's true But many modern translations render this word a different way. Instead of saying, thy eye be single, it says, thine eye be clear, or thy eye be good. But the Greek word literally means simple or single. Single. This word is often used in the Old Testament to refer to single-minded devotion to the Lord, especially in contrast to infidelity, in contrast to double-mindedness. And now I think we can see the connection. What is Jesus saying? Our eyes are to be single, focused singly on God, who is our only true treasure. We are to reject any double-mindedness, turning away from all lesser worldly attractions and devote ourselves completely to the one who is our portion forever. Our eyes are to be singly focused. And what happens when we focus on God in this exclusive way, in this single way? Well, in his first epistle, we read that John tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if our eye is singly focused on God, if we're looking upon God, if we're totally devoted to God, then what Jesus says just makes sense, doesn't it? Our eyes will be full of the light upon which we gaze. And as our devotion to God grows, as our attention is more and more focused on the light, well, Jesus says, our bodies and our minds will be illuminated, will be filled with light as well. Our actions and our understanding will increasingly express our allegiance to our Heavenly Father. More and more, what the psalmist says will be true of us. He will be all we desire. God will be the strength of our hearts. God will be our portion forever. God will be our heavenly treasure. A treasure which cannot fade away. But what happens if we allow our eyes to drift? What happens if our eyes are not singly focused on God? What happens if our eyes begin to wander toward the things of this world? What happens if we turn our attention to things that are destined for decay and destruction? Now, we all know there are certain things we're just not supposed to look at, right? And none of those things we can talk about in church because it's too tacky to talk about. We know there are certain magazines and certain movies and certain things that you're not supposed to look at. We know that. We recognize the problem that comes when the eyes wander. We know we're not supposed to gaze with covetousness on things that belong to our neighbors. Right? We know this. And we know we're right to turn our attention away from such obviously sinful things. But Jesus is challenging us to go further. He is challenging us not just to avoid what is spectacularly sinful. He is challenging us not just to avoid what is tacky or sorry. He is challenging us to turn our eyes to God with single-minded focus. He is challenging us to be completely devoted to God. Notice how he concludes this passage. You cannot serve two masters. No one can do that. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and stuff. Now, I know that sounds extreme. So we might want to try to find some wiggle room here, right? We might want to find some middle ground. We might want to find a way that we can multitask. We can focus our attention in two directions at once. Right? Maybe we want to worship God on Sunday, for example, and then turn our gaze, our attention, and our focus back to worldly things during the rest of the week. But think again about what Jesus is saying here. Think again about what Jesus is saying here. If it's true that God is light, then keeping our attention on him will light up our whole life. If we focus our hearts and our minds on God's love and God's truth, we will be able to make sense out of all of the rest of life. We will be able to keep our responsibilities and our interests in the proper perspective, filling ourselves with God's light, which comes from gazing upon the light of God. This will help us maneuver through whatever problems and difficulties may come our way. This will make our pathway clear. But what if we are to turn our attention away from the God who is light? What if we try to walk in the light on Sundays and then grope around in the darkness of our own reason, our own cultural traditions during the rest of the week? Well, what did I ask the kids this morning? What happens when you try to walk through a strange room at nighttime without turning on the lights? We all know, because we've all done it. And we don't get very far, do we? And you know what? When you're walking through a strange room at night in the darkness, does it matter how much money you have in your pocket? Does it matter how many relatives or friends or skills you have? It doesn't. Because unless you turn on the lights, you're going to do a face plant. And that is the sobering truth. And that is really the choice that Jesus places before us. That is the choice that faces all of us. You either have the lights on or you don't. You're either walking in the light of God or you're going to flounder in the darkness, trying to figure things out for yourself. Yes, the good news is that if we focus on God, God will fill our minds and our hearts with His light and His truth and His love. But if we let our attention drift anywhere else, if we allow our focus to settle on anything in this world, if we're trying to store up for ourselves treasures on earth, we'll eventually find ourselves lost and impoverished, helpless and alone, face down on the floor in the darkness. Where is your heart today? What is the most important thing to you? Who is the most important person to you? What do you think about most of the time? What would you die for? Who is your God? Where is your heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this challenging word. Thank you for challenging us to be more completely devoted to you. But Lord, we don't want to do this begrudgingly as some sort of duty. Lord, help us to remember the wonderful blessing that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. Help us to remember how he gave up everything for us. Help us to remember your love for us, a love great enough to give up your only son. Such a love is worthy of all our focus, all our attention, all our praise, all our devotion. And so, Lord, during this week, yes, we will be involved with lots of things in the world. We will have responsibilities, and we will need to save for the future to be able to help others. But, Lord, help us this week to live and to walk in the light of your truth, the light of your love, the light of ever-increasing devotion to you, so that we might not walk in darkness. Help us to treasure you, the strength of our heart and our portion forever. For we offer this prayer in the name of your greatest gift to us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue that prayer as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 344 as we ask God to be our vision, as we ask God to be our wisdom. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 344, and let us stand to sing. May that not just be our song this week, may that be our prayer, that God would be our vision, that God would be our treasure, our greatest treasure. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.